Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word. We're going to make it happen tonight. All right?
All righty. So tonight is kind of special because tonight we'll be having a virtual roundtable. Mm. Yeah. So we have quite a few guests lined up tonight. I won't spill the beans right now. So for our Power in Relationship segment, we have a few guests coming in tonight, and we'll be discussing the topic, is there a gap in your communication? Once again, welcome to Let's Talk Relationships. I am your host, Lady Misty, and with me is...
DJ KTE.
That's right.
That sounds kind of smooth, right? Any smooth? Yeah.
Yes, it's kind of smooth.
That's how we do it. Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into saying welcome to all those who have joined us via YouTube, or if you are listening live on UME Radio, a special thanks for you. I want to say a special big up to Al from Florida. He's in our live studio audience tonight. So hi, nice. Al, thank you for joining us. Yes, let me go on and continue by thanking our sponsors tonight. So we want to thank, of course, UMEDigitalInc.com, Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass, and you can check them out at MyCoachMinistry.com, and you check out their courses on Udemy. We also want to thank AccessBusinessTree.com, an empowerment tool to help business pros build on around their ministry. And Shop and Own, guys. Yes, so on Shop and Own, this is a one-stop shop for brand builders and influencers seeking to own their brand. Seeking to own the brand they're building while securing the right partnerships and collaborators to monetize their work. And guys, if you go and Shop and Own, we have our special discount code. So you just go, when you go to shop, you go to the discount area and you type in LTRSAVE. That's LTRSAVE. Save, and there are wonderful discounts lined up for you.
Yes, you are. Get it. Get those savings, you know.
Yes.
Times are hard, so if you can save a buck there, it is worth it.
That is right. That is so correct. So tonight, we are talking about communication. But before we go into all of that, we have, as usual, the hot topic. So, what's hot tonight, DJ?
Listen, hey, what's hot tonight is this. You know, it's when you're right, you're wrong. And when you're wrong, right? How about that, huh? Yeah, I think we're going to take a look at this, take a listen to it, and... from there, we'll see how it goes. But right,
so we'll be listening to some information coming out of what Nick Cannon said. You know, before he was in the media, he was highlighted in the media for using anti-Semitic terms in an interview a while back.
Mm. They call it anti-Semitic, yeah.
Yeah, anti-Semitic, yeah.
Mm.
And he was very big in the media. And, you know, a lot of persons were saying he's wrong. He lost his show from it. He had to apologize. And, you know, the whole works. It was a big thing. Now, he had some things to say. He went ahead and he did his homework. And he had some things to say. So let's hear what he had to say. Yeah.
From Nick Cannon's Facebook page, and this post was done on August 25th, and it reads, "In this week's first book report, I got to dive into the mind of Senator John Fitzgerald Kennedy before he became our 35th president. A Nation of Immigrants was written by JFK in 1958, 5 years prior to his assassination, but wasn't published until 1964, a year after his death. Published by the Anti-Defamation League when its national director Ben Epstein asked a young senator from Boston to write on the topic of immigration for the ADL's One Nation Library project to battle xenophobia and anti-immigration rhetoric that was on a rise at the time. The book was then re-released in 2018 for its 60th anniversary with a foreword by Jonathan Greenblatt, the current national director and CEO of the ADL. Jonathan, now a dear friend and fellow freedom fighter, is one who personally gave me this book after he and I had an intense first encounter at the ADL headquarters. I requested an in-person meeting after I read his response to my now infamous Cannon's Class episode with Professor Griff. Initially, Jonathan wrote that he was disturbed that I would use my platform to perpetuate anti-Semitic conspiracy theories and suggested that I educate myself on why my comments were so hurtful. So that's exactly what I did. I sought out every Jewish leader and scholar I could and read every book on the topics pertaining to anti-Semitism. Many heated debates and difficult conversations later, my colleagues and I came to the conclusion that we are not each other's enemy and ultimately we are all living in a nation filled with pain. I stumbled upon a profound quote that has sat with me for the last couple of months. And the quote says, until you heal the wounds that hurt you, you will continue to bleed on people who didn't even cut you. End of quote. That's what I believe this nation is doing, bleeding all over each other. This is what I told my friend Jonathan. And then he handed me this book and said, this nation was built by immigrants. I quickly added, yeah, and some not by choice. Then Jonathan responded, Kennedy says that in the book. I was instantly intrigued. In Jonathan's foreword, he gives a brief description of the ADL's background and his own upbringing. He states that this book isn't just a history lesson, it's real life and it's his life. From Jonathan's own wife all the way to his grandfather who came to America in 1938, he has personally witnessed the importance of what JFK was cultivating in this essay. In a brief overview, Kennedy indoctrinates and inculcates what America has done for immigrants and what immigrants have done for America. At the time this was written, it took some courage to drop a book that viewed immigrants compassionately. And today, people still hate on so-called folks who aren't from here. Kennedy does not shy away from these dangerous and outdated mindsets in the book. He gives you a glimpse from both sides of the looking glass. He writes about the noble and generous people we claim to be and wanna be, but Kennedy also gives the reality of the narrow-minded, prejudiced, and outright hateful people we often are. As early as page 7, Kennedy acknowledges the Black experience in America, writing, "We were bought and sold and had no choice in immigrating to America." Kennedy goes on to detail that only in the case of the Negro has the melting pot failed to bring a minority into the full stream of American life. In a later chapter, Kennedy argues that the process of integrating Americans under one nationality failed in the case of African Americans. He shares, "Today, we are belatedly but resolutely engaged in ending this condition of national exclusion and shame and abolishing forever the concept of second-class citizenship in the USA, all facts to this day." Kennedy even writes his own discrimination that his family had to endure as Irish immigrants in early centuries, from unfair entry quotas to flat-out bigotry towards early Irish Americans who were looked at as lesser than, quote unquote. Kennedy's family migrated to America during the years of the Irish potato famine to seek a better life, and eventually his lineage acquired that American dream that many of our communities are still chasing. But in the late 18th century, Kennedy teaches that the white male property-owning Anglo-Saxon Protestant-dominated society and had a tight grip on who could actually be citizens of the country. Members of the Fourth Congress eventually lost their argument to exclude non-white, non-property-owning, non-Anglo-Saxon, non-Protestant in 1797. Kennedy also wrote about his goals for America, hoping one day turn to the world and to turn to our past with clean hands and a clear conscience. He often reminds us we must remain mindful that there is much more that unites us than divides us. I completely agree, and even in healthy discourse, we can all have our opinions about our nation's future. The facts about our origins are undebatable. Kennedy concludes by offering, quote, "Everywhere immigrants have enriched and strengthened the fabric of American life," unquote, which today is still an inspiring observation, considering we are all currently experiencing an administration that wants to keep immigrants out by literally building a wall. Ironically, in this book, President Kennedy wrote, "If there had to be city walls, the walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get there." That is truly the American dream of today. The inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hopefully, we can get back on course in this moment of reset and reconciliation. Restorative justice is amongst my brothers and sisters, a powerful and inspiring read. And that was the post from Nick Cannon.
Wow. Thank you so much, Marsha J, for extensively reading that for us. It is indeed interesting stuff. I want to say, I am extremely proud of Nick Cannon. He went and did his research. He came under a lot of fire. He came under a lot of fire for comments he made in the past. And I commend him for taking the time, taking the advice of even his critics, to say, I'm going to research this. I want to find out if I was wrong or if I was right. And I am so proud of him for that. Listening to my producer reading that, I was a little bit taken aback at how knowledgeable the post was, how in-depth the post was, and how he really took the time to clear the air on his own thoughts and his own dealings when it comes onto the comments he once made.
Right.
I am particularly concerned, though, because unlike the posts before, and unlike the comments he made before that made worldwide, nationwide, social media-wide media attention, I noticed that this post, because before our producer really brought it to my attention, I didn't hear anything about it. And, you know, he's a popular guy. And usually when they come out and say stuff, we hear about it. Just as when he was in that interview, you know, some months back. And I'm like, why aren't we hearing about this? Is it because he's black and he decided to go do something about what he said? Clear the air to prove he's right? You know, what do you think, DJ?
Yeah, again, it shows you just how crazy our world is. Now, you know, there's an old saying that when the truth hurts, then you see certain reactions. And someone said the truth hurts. But it is good that he went ahead and did his research. I think, you know, there's an old saying, when you have to have breakthroughs, you sometimes have to have breakdowns. And I think for him, I think he's going to become a more rounded person, thinker, as opposed to how he communicates, as well as a businessman. Because, you know, as you know, a lot of people thought he had owned his show.
Including me.
Yeah, yeah. We thought he had owned it. So I think that is showing us also and him that you can always take the high road. You know, and of course, go back again to do your homework. He went through research, and that is showing that he's trying to really get grounded in what he's saying and what he believes and what he needs to say and understand how different cultures and different maybe, you know, systems work and how to be effective in these systems.
Yeah. And based on his comments, DJ, I don't think he did this for the public. Like, I don't, based on what was read and I'm listening to it, I don't think that he did this for the public. I think he did this for his own knowledge.
I think so too.
His own enlightenment and he coming out and say, well, yeah, stuff were said such and such, but this actually proved that, hey, immigrants are really getting a hard time. And this proves it. History proves it.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not being a hater. I'm not being a racist. But history proves that immigrants really have had a rough time and still is having a rough time getting that piece of the American pie. So I think he did that for his own knowledge and enlightenment. And I'm proud of him for that.
Yeah, that was good. Yes, folks, folks, remember to get the app, UMe Radio, and your store, whether your app store or your Google store or your Play store. It's one word, it's UMe Radio.
Yes, sir.
And you get the app, and the app is explosive. You got to get that app, wherever you are. It pretty much links everything to what we're doing and what we're about. And we're about reaching 1 million lives. So we do thank our sponsor, UMe Digital Media Inc. You can get your websites, you can get your trainings, you can get your podcasts, you can get your links to begin, get your church started, or so many wonderful products that we have for you to get yourself going online. And if it's ever a time we need to get online, folks, it's now. All right. So keep that in mind.
Now. Mm-hmm. All right, so we are going for a break, but as soon as we come back, we're going straight into our Power in Relationships.
Yes, guys, we're going into Power in Relationships segment, and it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic.
This should be an interesting, yeah, as we go around. I'm excited to be a part of this conversation tonight. So let's go for a break and we'll be right back.
Yes, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Yes, we have some amazing guests tonight. And we have Barry Hibbert is here tonight. Yes, as you can see. He's a father, a physical therapist, and a business owner. And we also have next guest, we have Christina Plummer. She's a mother and an aspiring entrepreneur. And she's here with us tonight, and we're going to have a great, great time. We also have Shane Aslam. And we have to have me here tonight. He's a husband and minister of religion and a sales executive. Wow, we have a colorful set of folks tonight.
Now, we have
Christopher,
right?
Sims, Men in Black. What do you say? Recording artist, extraordinaire, really a powerful gentleman. And folks, welcome to the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our special guests.
Welcome to the table, everyone. Before we start, I just want to say, for those listening, you are free to join in the conversation. So text your comments or questions to 201-503-6731. That's 201-503-6731. Also, for those who are viewing us via YouTube, you know, you just drop those comments in the comment section. We're monitoring, so we'll see. All right, so I'm going to be asking our guests to come on now. On live, we want to see you, we want to hear you, we want to talk to you. We are excited to
see
to
your
have
face.
You on.
Yeah, this is going to be a party tonight. We're going to have a party up in here.
Yeah.
You know,
Some
brother here had to go wear a hat. You know, I got my bald head. You know, I'm trying to do the right thing, but somebody here had to show up in a hat. I said nothing. I call them names. But we're going to have a grand time tonight. You know what I'm saying? So, all right.
All right, so tonight's topic, is there a gap in our communication? And I feel a little bit intimidated because there are so many men in this room tonight.
Yeah. All right.
But I'm excited as well. Why? Because it's always an interesting thing to hear from a man's point of view as opposed to a woman's point of view. So I am so excited to hear what the men have to say tonight. So guess how are you all doing? Are you guys okay?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing great.
All right.
Shout out to Christina. You're on my side tonight. We're the only females in the room.
Well, don't worry. Don't assume that Lynn is strong and quiet is weak. So not because the men.
I feel
seems
so
strong
good.
Tonight. Don't assume that Lord is strong and quiet is weak, okay?
I guess you got a point there, but we shall see.
We're definitely going to see.
All right, guys. So the topic of communication has been a topic that we have discussed over and over amongst humans. And especially when it comes on to relationships, this is a hot topic. How do we understand each other through communication? Is there a gap there? Are we doing okay? Are we not understanding each other? There is a popular saying that, you know, women speak with their emotions and men speak with logistics. So does that provide for a gap, or are we doing better since of late? Are we not doing better? So I'm going to throw that in right now. What do you guys think?
So I have a thought before you begin, right? I have a thought. Because tonight, if you're on here, if you're on the show and you were maybe married and divorced, you may have a different perspective. If you're married now and going strong, you may have a perspective as well. Why is it that working for you or not working for you? And for those who might be dating, if you're here tonight, as a guest, you can also share that from that perspective, you know? And so we want to hear that also, how you relate to that. In other words, was that a part of the factor of contributing to your separation, communication gap, or that kind of thing? Or was it something that you know that, well, I didn't know what to do, I didn't understand it, or now you just was one-sided? Those different thoughts I want to throw out there. So I'm gonna start with ladies first. Ladies first, I'll be nice tonight. So Christina, take a plunge of this question here.
Yeah. The question wasn't there. You were saying something as it relates to if married, what difference you're married, you have not been married.
Right. Just rephrase the question. So I'm gonna let Lady Misty kind of rephrase that question again, so you can hear it.
Yes, so DJ was just bringing the point across that depending on what stage you are, what stage you've been through in a relationship, it may affect your own views as what you think about communication. If you are married or was married, if you are dating, was dating in a long-term, short-term relationship, if you have been divorced, if you're single, that usually has a say in how you view communication and if there's a gap. So we want to know, what do you think? Do you think those are factors?
Okay, so what I think, I'm pretty neutral. So if I have been married, not yet, soon though. All right. But view on communication, it wouldn't be per se of what experience, because I believe it's character person and communication speaks to the person is, because how persons that communicate though that are not married, that are persons that are married. So I would say the environment you're in per se would communication. This person that you have met and how to communicate with you.
Okay.
And if you're in communication, yeah, there is a gap in communication relationship. But as I said, I believe it's on the person who have both. You have persons that you communicate and it's awesome. And you have persons that there's a gap, you don't communicate it. And
okay, Christina. Christina.
Person that communicating.
Yeah, Christina. For some reason, yes. It seemed like we have some issue with the.
You're chipping in and out. Your audio is not going very in and clear. Out.
So we're gonna come back to you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is any better?
Okay, that sounds better. Can we rephrase what you said again? Because you were really chipping out. Try it again.
Yeah. Is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
Let me see if you're hearing me.
Yeah, maybe it's your location. Yeah. So right. while you kind of reset your position, we're gonna go to Mr. Hibbert. Hey, I'm gonna come back to you, okay, Christina?
Okay.
All right.
How you doing? This is Barry Hibbert. How you doing?
Yes, sir, Mr. Businessman. I'm blessed,
my friend. Good night, Barry. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, you see, based on this topic you're talking about with the communication, right?
Yes.
I'm a divorced man. Mm-hmm. I was married and I'm divorced. Okay. And now I'm dating. Mm-hmm. And I could see on both sides of the...
Good for you. Congratulations.
Uh-huh. I say good luck. I'm sorry. Just kidding.
No, but, you know, what I've learned over the years is, you know, when you, after you've been married for, you know, over 8 years and divorced, and then you could reflect back of the mistake that you made. And pretty much the communication, as I said, is one of the key things that destroy a relationship between a man and a woman. And at one, I was never on board with my ex as far as how she was feeling. I was assuming what I felt is how she felt.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was making judgment for her. I was pretty much making judgment for her. So I wasn't really in consideration. When she told me well, I'm not feeling well, I'm saying, okay, you'll be okay. Things will be fine. Because you always try to fix the situation as a man. That was my biggest downfall. Right. My downfall was I need to stop, listen to her. Not hear her, but listen to her carefully. And try to work with, try to work together with her to try to solve the situation. Not even try to solve the situation, just listen to her. And just listen and take the time and hear her out. And that's what I wasn't doing. So moving forward in the relationship today, I tend to stop, listen, ask questions, don't make assumption. And I think there's a big gap right there because a lot of men are still not doing that today. And, you know, and I think that's we have a major problem with that.
Wow. So I'm seeing where you actually made that transition to what was to how you now changing that to we understood what happened and now you're actually moving to the different situation and applying those principles.
Absolutely.
That's a good thing. Absolutely. But I have a question for you, but I'm going to come back to you a little later on because you're too smooth. Something's under that rug, man. I'm going to dig it up tonight. I promise I will. All right. But I'm going to come back to you, Mr. Herbert, but I like that. Mr. Christopher, sir. I believe you're married now. You're going strong. You're always smiling, making jokes. So something's up in that house. Whatever it is, it's cooking good. You know what I'm saying? You're always smiling, making jokes. So talk to us, Chris. Talk to us about this communication gap here and what you found about it, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's how it works for you.
Well, first of all, what's up, family? How y'all doing? Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Lady Misty, DJ KTE.
Yes, sir.
So in the area of communication, I am a married man. I've been married for 11 years. I had to make sure I counted that right because I was getting in trouble. and so we've been married for 11 years. And so what I found is communication is extremely important, right? That seems so cliche to say, right? But we don't really understand how important it really is. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is we get really stuck on how women may communicate and how men may communicate. It's really about how people communicate, right? Because you and I, Keith, may communicate differently. Mm-hmm. All right. And based on how we define things, for example, the word love, since we're talking about relationships, we may have different definitions of what love is. Right. So according to you might think love is an emotion, but according to my studies and according to what I've understood about love, according to what scripture tells me what love is. Love is patient, love is kind, love holds no record of wrong. And by that, it seems as though love is really a decision. In fact, it's a series of decisions because you have to choose and decide to be patient. You have to choose and decide to be kind. You have to choose and decide to hold no record of wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's a series of decisions that you have to make constantly. And so it really eliminates us from being able to have the excuse that, you know, I fell in love and that was, it was a feeling. It eliminates that, right? And it really places the responsibility on us in the sense that we've made a decision to love. Mm. We've made a decision to be involved with someone. And so when it comes to communication, again, it's about what we interpret as what is communication. I'm a psychology major. I'm a student of psychology. And and one of the classes I had to take was a communications class. And what they taught us is that communication occurs when one person speaks and the other one hears and is able to translate what they heard in their own understanding and then be able to reiterate that same thing. Now, if you're not listening to, I don't want to keep rambling, but there's also a difference between hearing and listening. See, hearing is involuntary. We hear a whole bunch of noises all of the time, but listening is intentional. And so you have to intentionally pay attention and give your attention to the person that it's speaking and what they're trying to communicate to you. And then and communication is not always verbal either. It can be physical, it can be emotional, and
yes.
You have to be able to identify those things, and those things come with us understanding the fact that we are different people, different individuals, we have different worldviews, we come from different families, and so it is important that we continue to educate ourselves in the area of communication. How do I communicate with my wife? Because my wife is not everybody's wife, right? So I have to know how my wife, how my Jessica understands things, how she hears, how she perceives things. That takes time, that takes intent. And so you have to be intentional and purposeful in learning the other person's way of communicating and understanding, as well as adversely, they have to spend the time to understand how my wife has to spend the time to understand how I communicate and how I understand things. And understand that when there's a clash in our communication, it's not always out of ill intentions. It's just we communicate differently.
Okay.
Wow. So what you're saying right now, as I was listening to you, as I was intentionally listening to you, what I'm hearing you say is that love is not just an emotion, but love is a decision.
Right.
And also you have to be intentional about as you deal with your in your relationship. And so let's kind of give a small caps on that. But I like what you said, Christopher, and that's definitely is what I call self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we all need, you know, as we get older and grow, that the more we are aware of self, the more we can affect each other positively. Yes, thank you for that. We'll come back to you again, Chris. I like that. I'm going to run to Mr. Aslam and have you kind of chime in here. I know you've been sitting down there real cool, like, you know, Billy D, you know what I'm saying, chilling, you know, really just thinking. So I know somebody's coming now. I can feel it. So... Mr. Aslam,
give it all to right. us. Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone. Hey. Thank you all for inviting me. Thanks to Lady Misty of all for getting me on here. The most beautiful woman in the world. Anyways,
watch it now.
Thank you.
All right, but we are talking about communication tonight. The first thing that I wanted to define: what is communication? So communication is the imparting or exchanging of information by speaking, writing, or using some other medium. We're talking about a gap in relationship. A gap is a space or interval, a break in continuity. Mm. With communication, it is a challenging thing in relationship, which we're dealing with today, tonight. But communication is an issue worldwide. As our speaker before me said, that with communication is one listening and one hearing. It is just like in God, you are praying. When you are praying to God, there are times that you have to stop talking and listen to what He is saying to you. Mm-hmm. Now you are in a relationship. You are talking, but there comes a time when you have to stop and listen to what the other party is saying. And God distinctly show us how we should communicate, and even in our prayers. That's an example. With communicating, especially for us as men, well, I'm not sure about the others, but I grew up with all boys. My cousins, my brothers. So growing up, I didn't grow up with a father, but I grew up with a mom and boys around. So when I got married, I had to learn how to communicate different, because our level of communication as men is different from when you get into a relationship. because for me as a man growing up, you know, we communicate, we talk loud. Sometimes we as men don't wait until the other is finished talking. We jump in and say something else. And so that is how we, for those of us who grow up in a society or in a community like that, or a household like that, that's how we are used to communicating. Church has helped us a lot. Society has helped us in some form. I did communications in school too. But for me, when I just got married, and I'll just share this quick example. When I just got married, I'm sure Lady Misty won't mind. When I got married, my communication form, because I getting into, even though you were in relationships before, now you are married, it's a total different thing. Being in a relationship without being married is different. This is when you live with the person, you live with this person, and this is who you're spending your entire life with. I'm not gonna wait until something goes wrong, right? Some people learn along the line, but what I did, I used to, as I said, communication is using other mediums. So what I used to do sometimes when I have an issue, I may be at work and I send my wife a text message. I don't say anything to her in the morning. Send her a message and say, honey, I have a problem with this. Then she would respond by text message. Or I'm not sure if I've ever used email, or we use WhatsApp and communicate and stuff. And then we communicate. When we reach home, we just try to find the solution. Now I have grown and understand. We are in 4 years, going into 5 years, where we now can sit down, listen to each other, communicate with each other. I think we have a tendency sometimes as men to think that women are over-emotional, which true, sometimes they are, but over-emotional that we think that when they are talking, too much or they are too emotional, but that's how they are built. So we as men have to sit down, whether we like it or not, we have to listen sometime to what they're saying. And because if we don't listen in a relationship to what they're saying, they're going to find other mediums of letting off by communicating with other people that can jeopardize your relationship at the end of the day. And nobody would want to be in a relationship which your partner should be communicating with you about an issue, and you are communicating with another person. So for me, communication is key, and it is very important. It is what builds a relationship, and it is what breaks a relationship. If you don't have good communication, it can cause a breakage in relationship. As our speaker earlier on said, that after 8 years, you know, he realized certain issues and whatever, whatever, and ended up divorced. Now he is learning from his mistakes. I'm trying my best not to reach that stage, which I will never reach that stage, right? I want to ensure that now I, especially we are so knowledgeable. We have different forums. We have different counseling sessions where we can go through to help us where communication is concerned. So for me, the gap coming is a break in continuity. So you can't be a communicator this month, and the next month you're not a communicator, and then it comes again the following month. It has to be something, because sometimes we as men, meeting on us as men a bit, sometimes we as men have a tendency of breaking a gap because we are mature. Sometimes we want to deal with certain things on our own. But if we don't communicate and let our partner know exactly how we are feeling, because what I've learned from my wife is that when I release to her, share with her, communicate with her, then she is able to open and share with me too. And then when she does that on the other end, I'm able to relax myself and also open and share stuff.
Awesome, awesome. I see we got some YouTube folks really responding out there. You guys are really, really awesome. Keep it coming.
Yeah, I'm seeing the comments. Really. I want to, hold on, DJ, I'm sorry. I want to read some of the comments on YouTube. Shout out to the YouTube fam. You guys are really on the ball tonight.
I'm blowing it up here. Blowing it up. I love it.
So I see a comment first from Wanda Thomas, which is, and she's saying, it's all about communication. You're meeting her needs. There's another comment from Roseanne Samuels. who says, too many times the message is lost in translation.
Wow. So quickly, so Christina, you were saying something earlier, and of course we had a little breakies going on with you. And my brother, Aslam, powerful confirmation again. That's what Christopher was saying. But Christina, you kind of just we interrupt what you're saying. Hopefully it'll be clearer now. Yeah.
Okay. Let me know if you're hearing me now.
So it's a little better.
Is it clear?
Yes, yeah, a little better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for me, communication comes from the commune, and God, as it is, he created us to commune with each other. Well, to commune with him first, to communicate with first, to have relation with him first. And as you can see, from dynamics, to commune and, you know, have a good relationship, it is commune because if you remember, Adam and Eve, Adam and God in the Garden of Eden, God will often with him throughout the day. Are you hearing me, guys?
Yes, yes. You're kind of breaking a little bit, but
we're hearing you.
It is very essential.
Sorry? You said it's essential.
Right. Mm-hmm. So communication. So the base of a relationship is definitely communication. And oftentimes we get lost in, okay, we're busy, we're this, and that is in our relationship, which, you know, is the gap in communication. And we all must understand that not communicating is all communicating. So a lot of persons think that, okay, you don't speak, or, you know, I didn't say this, why do you take it this way, or I didn't tell you that it's out of this. That all sending a signal by you don't say. So you're also communicating in that way. For example, if you should say, a woman, I'm in a relationship with you, and I should say, you're not feeling well, and you don't respond, you're communicating me, like, you know, you don't care. So you also send a message by also not just what you're saying, but what you are not saying. And God is love, and, you know, it is a verb. It is a doing word. So I leave relationships, which if we love each other, we take the time to show. And, you know, one form showing is communicating. And communicate is acknowledging what the person did, acknowledging how the person feel, making time, no matter how busy you are, to definitely be there and understand how the person is feeling. So back to my friend with, you know, God and Adam in the Garden of Eden, he had the time to communicate with God, and believe that our relationships, a lot of us don't communicate because we don't find the time to effectively convey and share feelings. And you understand, and we automatically feel like, okay, you know, I love person, but I don't have to talk to person first and or whatever. I love them, automatically feel the person feels your feeling, which should not be. So I believe that, you know, that really comes in when we don't make time to really understand how someone and to really communicate with that person.
Wow. Now, some of your words were missing, but you said some very important things, like making time to communicate and communicating with God, what Adam did, and by him communicating with God, what he did, then he had communion with God. And we had to take the same approach with our relationships.
Right. It solidified his relationship. So as you see, yes, communication is a process from the beginning of time.
Yes,
from the beginning of time, communication is very essential.
But let me say this, though. I mean, come on, folks. We deal with some folks here who just, they're difficult. They don't want to hear nothing. You know what I mean? Have you guys ever dealt with someone who just so arrogant and just so maybe angry, and you try the soft way, you try the hard way, you're trying not to speak is a problem. You try to speak is a problem. I mean, there are people like those were easily offended at everything. And so how do you address those things? I mean, that's real. I've had those experience. Chris?
Are you referring Keith or a person like that?
Yeah. I was asking Chris for this particular question, how to address it. Maybe as a part of his study, psychology.
Okay. For persons that are difficult.
Oh, go ahead quickly. And then I'm going to ask Chris to chime in after you do.
Okay, I did research psychology as well. And normally, there are causes that problem. Normally, it's not really you that, you know, some person would just be angry and you didn't do anything. Have you ever been to a restaurant or, you know, a store? The person, though, you know the person and lashed out for this place. Things. They don't owe you, you know, hurt in any way. So normally, there's the root cause of that problem. And if it takes time to get to that person, you will definitely see your thing from them open up and say, okay, I had through a bad voice, or, you know, it affects communication. So normally it's, you know, roots from in their lives that cause them to react in a way. So wow. I really take personally, especially if you're another person.
Oh, I hear Christina. Chris, you want to kind of chime in there and just add something to that?
Sure. Again, I go back to what I stated before about what love is. It's not an emotion. It's a decision. It's a series of decisions. We have to understand that love is not a human construct. It's a God construct. And it is God's intention that we make these series of decisions, that we decide, okay, so this person is aggravating. This person is causing issues in my life. You know, you have to make a decision if whether that person needs to continue to be in your life, if they're adding to your life or not. And if they're not adding to your life, then it's time to sever ties, because they're not helping you to accomplish what you are what God created you to accomplish. So, and when I'm talking about relationships, I'm talking about in any relationship. I'm not just talking about in one in which two people are romantically involved with each other, because a relationship, you can have a relationship between yourself and a business partner.
So how about shutting down and not saying anything to avoid issue? What do you say about that?
That is just as bad as poor communication. Wow. You know, shutting down, you're not communicating at all. You know, so no one understands what you are feeling. I'll share a little situation that recently happened between my wife and I. I was upset about something that she did, and I was upset for about a week. And when I finally spoke to her and told her what I was upset about, she was like, "I didn't know that's what you were upset about." So we could erroneously assume that people know what it is that we're upset about. Like,
that's true.
How would I know? You're assuming that I know. What's wrong with you? You know, you can't assume. You have to keep those lines of communication open at all times. You have to be willing. And again, it comes back, and everybody has been saying it, it comes back to learning, educating yourself, being willing to continue to learn how to communicate, period. To communicate with the people that you are involved with, because at the same time, we're not always the same person we were the day before, based on what we learn, right?
Interesting.
If I learn something new today, I'm no longer the same person I was yesterday.
Yeah, true.
And so, so now my wife has to learn something new about me again. So we have to keep our heart and our mind open to communicating. I heard somebody saying something.
Chris, and for example, like my wife is on here, so sometimes if in communication, if you are upset and you want to bring across a point or say something, it is not good sometimes, I'm not sure for anybody, to talk in the meat when you're upset. For example, like my wife know that if I'm upset about a matter, I calm down, I breathe off, I let it flow, and then I discuss it with her. Honestly, in initial state, when I just got married and I'm upset about something and I say it same time, it allows the situation to get worse. Mm-hmm. And even though you may deal with there was a fire in dealing with it, the situation was mm-hmm. not resolved properly. So, for example, like if my wife wants to talk to me about something and she knows it's going to get upset or whatever, she will calm down or whatever. Now we have grown because we laugh over certain things now.
But, That's good.
We try.
Keep trying.
Yeah, we are not there yet. But I remember, for example, like I had an anger issue back then. So if I address something, I would address it in anger. Mm. So I've learned how to deal with myself, calm down, and know that okay, we're gonna eat an ice cream tonight, and then I want to say something to you, hon. And then you know, women or men, if they say to you or they text you or tell you face to face, we need to talk, is like that's the worst thing anybody could say.
Goodness.
We
need don't to you talk. Ever say to me, let's talk. Oh my goodness, scary stuff. But
right.
I don't think you understand what it means,
it,
right?
It is not for the bad.
I don't think you understand.
Right. So it is not always on the bad note. And even in communication too, for example, like I may be sometimes I'm on my phone. A lot of times I'm on my phone, like ministering or I'm doing something. But what I try to do, for example, like I don't just sit with my phone like that. If my wife is in the room and I'm on my phone and I get a joke, I say, hon, look here. So she don't feel out of place, like I'm just locked.
Okay, question now, Mr. Aslan.
Locked away in my phone, all the way from is something.
All right, yes. Hold on. I have to stop all of you. Ah. I have to put a pause on all of you. We are going to break. I know the conversation is going very good, but we're going to break. When we come back, we'll hear the rest of that story.
And I'm just getting started.
We'll be taking some comments. Yes. I know, DJ. I know.
My season
fire. So we take your question.
My season fire.
DJ.
Somebody call 911. Okay. Watch it.
And we'll also take comments from the viewers and the listeners as well, because they are having their own fiery storm there. We want to take some comments from them as well. So we're going to go for a little break. Take a breath, breathe, drink some water. We're right here. We'll be right back.
I got a question for you guys, a big one.
It's You Me Radio, touching your airwaves like something you've never heard before.
You Me Radio.
Yes. I got a question, y'all. But listen, welcome back to Let's Talk Relationships on You Me Radio. I got a question to ask. Now, when we get these kind of reactions from people in communicating, could it be that we are attracting these things based on what we are and who we are? Could we be attracting these behaviors? I mean, I heard a short story, by someone who spoke it, that when you plant a seed, you think about a male and a female, and a woman is an incubator. So when you plant that seed, whatever you plant is going to grow, and it usually comes back multiple times and in multiple ways. So a lot of times, as a male dealing with a female, to be specific, a lot of times we get upset at the female behavior, but are we the ones sometimes that's aggravating that, that's causing that? So that's a thought. What do you say, Barry?
I think we have a lot to do with that, because just like if you listen to like Michael Jackson's song, he would say like the man in the mirror.
Okay. All right
and
now.
Pretty much, you know, instead of we pointing fingers at what our partner's doing wrong, we need to turn that finger around and start pointing fingers at ourselves and start taking ownership for that, you know, and stop assuming that, okay, she's doing it wrong or he's doing it wrong, and look into yourself first. Mm. And once you be able to solve the situation within yourself, you'd be surprised how the outlook would be afterwards, how everything will respond in a better way, because you're giving off that energy to her or him and they're reacting to your energy.
So Barry, when did you come to that point of, we call it epiphany, or that time of this minute, I got to stop, this got to change. When did you come to that moment? Was it that something happened really bad, or you just kind of decided, you know, just a thought?
What happened with that is, if you look at it, when I bought my house in Florida, I moved to Florida, got married before I moved to Florida, and we had 3 children. Mm-hmm. And when I saw myself walking out that front door and losing my family, anyone will wake up after a while when I'm flying back to New York on an airplane, and I'm just going with a little small luggage in my hand and everything is left behind.
Wow.
So when I got to New York, for example, and I start dating at first, and I start reflecting back on what I had.
Right.
And I'm learning from that. I say, I lost such a huge part of my life.
Yeah.
So you have to start becoming a man. You have to grow up. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no sugar coat in between this. So I have to grow up and I have to say, wait a minute. I have to start taking ownership for everything I did. So even now with my son living here with me, I'm teaching him how to communicate, because he was there when he saw the relationship between me and his mom. And I want him to be a better person than I am. Mm-hmm. So we have to start taking ownership for what, you know, it sounds pretty what we say sometimes, but we have to start taking ownership. And once we start taking ownership and saying, look, I'm wrong. I want to listen to you. I want to resolve this situation. Then you're going to see how things just open up. And then that person is going to react to your, to you, how you react towards them, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And if we could just sit down and have an open podium and say, look, honey, look, I'm not perfect. I'm working on this. I'm a person in progress right now. I'm trying to make it happen. You'd be surprised how we can, you know, communicate and we could work and make it better.
Nice. I wouldn't mind asking Lady Misty.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for interrupting. But before we went for a break, Lady Misty wanted to say something.
Yes. Go right ahead, Lady Misty.
I don't even remember what I wanted to say. Oh my God, I'm just drinking.
I think we were perhaps going to the YouTubers. They've been commenting like crazy.
Oh yes, yes, yes. They have been really commenting, and there are some really good comments that I want us to, you know, talk about. Deshaun has one, and he says, it's hard to communicate with someone when they are blinded by their feelings and emotions in the heat of the moment.
True.
He also said, with technology and social media being present 24/7, it hinders our ability to properly communicate with those in the room with us. Have social media, have our devices taken over how we communicate with each other? Is it a gap? Is it creating that gap in how we talk to each other? Guys, what do you think?
I'd like to add to what Chris said, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So first, let me address the question that you just said. Back to what I was saying, is we have made the time to effectively communicate, because there is going to be a gap if, you know, we don't make the time. There's definitely going to be a gap there. And with other things consuming our time, social media, we have work, we have responsibilities that we need to take care of. And yes, social media being added, it definitely can create a gap if you use it. And if you become addicted to it, where, you know, it just completely consumes you. It's like you're having a relationship with social media instead of having a relationship with the persons in your life that are important. So definitely, if you don't create a balance, it can hinder and cause a gap in your communication. And to add to what Barry was saying, is we have to, you know, put the pride aside and to say, yes, everyone thinks, most people think, okay, I'm right, I'm doing the right way. So there's an issue with who, the issue is not with me and all of that. But, you know, normally in a relationship, we both have issues. And it's us to come on a mutual ground and to communicate properly with, you know, the problems that we're having, and not just point fingers and say, you're the one, you're the bad communicator, you're the one that's doing that. We have to mutually agree and put our pride or pride aside. And, you know, it's ownership to say, oh, I can improve in this way, because each of us in the relationship can improve in whatever way. So it's for you to say, okay, I need to improve in this and not take ownership. And also, Keith said, are we attracting persons to communicate with us in our way? And especially for the ladies. Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe so, because, you know, a man will address you how you present yourself. If you present yourself well, they will definitely address you as such. And if you present yourself anyhow, then they're definitely going to address you anyhow. So presentation also plays a big role in communication, because how you present yourself, you're communicating to people on how they treat you, how should, you know, communicate with you.
Would you
so
say,
presentation would you, is also a means of communication.
Awesome. Would you say for you guys, what are your deal breakers? Like, you know, there are folks that's me, you know, we can have issues here, but you don't call me my mom out of her name. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's some folks who have some deal breakers. So what's that for you? Mr. Haslam, deal breakers.
I don't think I get the question correctly.
You have something called deal breakers. You know, there a lot of things can be said in a relationship that may be hurtful, you know, maybe out of anger, but for you, what are things that you know that these are like, that's too far now, it's just a deal breaker for me, and you know, we're now going south right now.
That's a tough one. deal breakers.
Maybe it could be a manhood. It could be a manhood, you know, something that maybe the ego, you know, what's going on here, you know.
You're right. Something that hurts you. Mm-hmm. Well, for me, as I was sharing before, but for me, in terms of saying something that hurts each other and say, hey, this is the end of it, we need to, because you said this, yes, and it has broken me. And I think even saying that you're going south or you're going east or whatever, the situation will still be there. You still, for me, it still has to be addressed. Sometimes things may be said hurtful. Mm-hmm. But it is not what is said. Sometimes it is how it is said.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things that are said that may hurt us at times may be the truth. Because the truth hurts. But it depends on how it is communicated to us. Because you can say, I don't like you in a bad way. For example, like, Jamaica, me not like you. Me just can't stand you. When on the other hand, they say, Shane, I don't like the way you're operating.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I think that you need to own a tool, you know. And yeah. I just said something on your manhood or female, whether otherwise, and vice versa. That's something that hurts you. It is how the individual deal with it, but my one of my greatest issue is some people say that they cannot talk to their partner because their partner does not communicate with them well, and they have to. If you are in a relationship, I think you have to grow. It's not a one-sided thing. If you realize your partner have an issue, you try to work on your partner. What I realize in a lot of relationships, what people does, I can't talk to you, whatever, and they go and they tell somebody else the issue that they're having, instead of trying to bring up their partner to that level. And then sometimes the other person on the other hand is looking on the partner as a bad person, when the truth is probably the other person who thinks that they are the better one in the relationship had taken some time to try to build, because relationship is building. Relationship is building. Love does not come overnight. And if you think that this is a fairy tale thing, that, hey, all these people, we watch T.D. Jakes, we watch these men up there, we watch all of them, and it's a fancy. No, they all go through their struggle. Sometimes when you sit down and listen to some people who you least expect go through some struggle, but what they do, they try to build each other. And I think that is one of the greatest issues that relationship has. People, because I am better at this, I am so perfect at this, and I'm tired of talking to you, whatever. You don't try to build. And on the other hand, if the person is not willing to accept to be built, then the truth is, I don't think the relationship can continue. That is just truth.
Gotcha.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So that's from my side.
All right, DJ. I want to take a comment from Coach Raquel. I know she's in the room, Coach. Let me just quickly take your question and comment. Hi, good night.
So good evening, everyone. It's a really interesting conversation, and I just wanted to share something and ask a question. So I believe that we attract, we tolerate, then we become, then we blame. Thank God we can change, right? And I think it's the change that sometimes that's where the challenge really comes from. I remember I did a podcast episode and I talked about learning to listen myself. And I spoke about three powers in listening: respect, you get to demonstrate to the person that you respect them. Then you get to process, and that is coming into the mindfulness of the dialogue, right? And then at the end, you get to accept whatever is. But half the time, we're not doing any of those things. And so the question I have after that comment is, do you think that, and I think I probably am asking the men this, because I think, I don't think I have the kind of experience to even comment on communication in a relationship, because I think I've done terrible at it. I think I find myself just becoming silent and I'm a talker, you know, because after a while you just feel as though, okay, let it happen. And I think it's important for a man to understand the power of a woman's perspective in his life. Because you see, based on my understanding of God, he made the man the person for the target, but the woman, she's got the details. She's got the details. So we have to be careful how we curse her details, and she talks so much and blah, 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 when she's trying to protect you sometimes. I find it in my own life that sometimes what you're trying to do is to help the other person, to be proactive for them, but they're not really hearing it. So what I find my experiences sometimes is they make me the hero. Oh my gosh, Raquel, you're so better at this, or you're so good. And this is just who I am. They make you the hero so they don't have to try harder. They don't have to change. They don't have to be better. So they can just say, this is just how I am. What are your thoughts on that, man? Thank you for the time.
Well,
thank you, Raquel. Good.
Chris, I see your hands up, Chris.
Okay, so, right, here we go.
You got 30 seconds, Chris.
I don't think it's so much, hey, you're talking too much. I think what it is that you're not giving me, men, we don't deal with all the details. Just give me the facts. Just give me the information that I need to make the decision. You're giving me too much. Like my wife and I, we have this discussion all the time. I don't need to know what kind of coffee you had before you got into a car accident. That doesn't matter to me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I need to know that you're safe. I need to know that you're okay. I need to know, you know, there are no damages to you or to the vehicle. The coffee doesn't matter to me.
I went to Starbucks and I got coffee, then I went down the block.
But I'm not you. You see, if I just may say this, I hear you, Chris, but guess what? Maybe the only way I know how to really effectively share with you my experience is to tell you in my way. I'm not you, because if you're saying that I could just get straight to it, I could also say you could have selected the parts. You see, so we could go back and forth. So how do we navigate our conversations understanding that you're you and I am me, and together we're going to get there?
I totally agree. And my point is it goes back to what I said earlier. We have to continue to educate ourselves. We have to continue to be willing and open to learning each other's way of. I'm just speaking from a male. You asked from the male perspective why we think that way. You know, so I'm giving you the male perspective why we initially think that way. We initially think that way because for us, it's not that we
target driven.
Yeah, we're just like, we just like, we need the details real quick. Well, it's not so much we want you to stop talking or anything. It's just I need important information. Everything else is, you know what I mean? And so that's why I was just communicating.
And it is because you care.
Right, right. I care. And so it's like you said I was in a car, you were in a car accident. And I'm like, okay, wait, what happened? I need to know what happened. And you start talking to me about coffee. It's like, no. I don't need to know what coffee you had. I need to know what happened in the car. I need to know you're okay. And so the other details we can talk about later, but I need to know the important information right away.
Oh, okay.
I think as a male, and was married, and I learned some things. And what I understand is that with your partner or your spouse, I must understand that she means me well. She means good to me, and I mean her well. I think once that's established, things may happen in between that may rub me the wrong way. But at the end of the day, does she mean me well? Mm-hmm. Is she on my side? Are we on the same team? And I think oftentimes when we have certain dialogues, based on how it goes, we feel like we're not on the same team. We're not on the same page here. And so that can pose a problem with, you know, how we react. Now, the black slavery, I think, has really impacted blacks in ways that we see each other almost like enemies, you know, almost like in, you know, deep psyche somehow. You're not for me. And so therefore there's this false norm that we carry. So when we look at the black woman, they have them as stereotypical, as aggressive, as, you know, strong, as combative, and they're really not. You know, so the culture plays into these things as well. So when we deal with a black woman, we sometimes want to have them tamed, you know, or come to a certain way, opposed to looking at really how they can help us and really maneuver what we need to maneuver to get to our goals. You know, so those are areas where we have to look at the beauty in the black woman, speaking from a male perspective, and see what they're really about, what they're really trying to do and protect us, and maybe push us along to do better. It may come out maybe harsh, and maybe it may sound a little bit not to her liking, but at the end of the day, what is she really saying to me as a black man? You know what I mean?
DJ, just to say, I'm sorry, Barry, just let me read this comment. You asked a question before about deal breakers, and Deshaun answered your question on YouTube. He says, to answer DJ KTE's questions, one no-go is when two people in a relationship are having a conversation. We bring up past issues that have already been resolved as ammunition in the current conversation. So that's a deal breaker. You were saying, Barry?
Yeah, for me, a deal breaker would be when in a relationship, it start becoming physical.
Mm.
When it's becoming physical and we start disrespecting one another, that's what a deal breaker is. Because something happened along the way that we're going further than we should. Yeah. So once we start hitting each other, hitting up on top of each other,
that's it.
A deal breaker for me. And you know, what you were saying earlier, we have to start reprogramming our mind and rewiring our mind about the way we feel. It's not a me thing, it's a we thing.
Okay? How about when a woman, in this case, threaten a man with the cops?
That's a deal breaker. That's a part of the physical part, because it's going to end up being a cop situation. Mm. So that is a part of deal breaker. So before we even get there, it's better to prevent than to try to treat. So once she's getting physical, it's going to end up with the popo, you know, and situation down like that pretty much.
So, I know, right?
You know, then we're going to start disrespecting one another, and it's going to get worse. You know, I think we have to start playing role play, where you have to tell me, let me try to be you, you try to be me for the moment. So I could see your inner feelings, and you could see my inner feelings.
Mm.
And then we could work with each other. We could communicate with each other that way. I mean, remember, you're in it for the long run. So you have to try to do whatever it takes to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Put all the pride aside. Put all the testosterone and everything aside, and let me try to work together to see how we can get along with one another and make it better for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. I have another comment here from Adonis Darby on YouTube, and she's saying, men
need to appreciate who women are as God has made them. If I'm telling you every detail, that means it's relevant to me to tell you. So please just listen and don't rush me or show disinterest. So that's her deal breaker. If you are being not interested in what she's saying. She also said that that's true. Men only think black women are talkative, but when it's another race, it's a different story. Is that true?
Oh, it's worse.
It's worse. Did Barry just say it's worse? Oh my God.
No, because you know, after my divorce, I dated outside of my race. You know,
God,
multiple type of woman, and I get to see what other races are like, and I end up back to my black woman. Sorry.
Yeah, and nothing like the black woman. There's nothing like the black original.
Wow.
Woman.
if we're going to get mad at each other, I'd rather get mad with my own kind. I'm sorry. You know,
it is.
Yeah. But there is a saying, though, that white men, I'm sorry, are better communicators. Is that true?
No. I think what happened.
You believe
with
that men?
No, I think black men, I think what happened with us, we've been beaten down over the years, so many years. We're trying to prove something. Mm. And I think
I think that's why it is so, because of that.
But I think also, too, that a lot of, I've heard it before, a lot of white men, they communicate almost very condescending in a very subtle kind of way. You know, they may sound a certain kind of way, you know, but I have black friends, too. You know, my dad, back in the days, he didn't treat slaves as badly as, you know, the others did. There's some weird way they communicate a lot of times, I notice, to the black, trying to identify sometimes. I think sometimes it becomes an overkill. Like, no, we feel that. That's not real, you know? So
yeah, but I'm talking about in a relationship, like in a relationship with a woman.
Right. They're very loving.
They're very understanding. They listen to you. They want to hear what you're saying. They take that time, as opposed to a black man who says, hey, I ain't got no time for this right now, or we talk about it later.
So Raquel and Rochelle, have you been with a white man before?
No, these are just views from the people. I'm just saying.
I've dated a white man, yes, I have.
Right. I've never dated a white man before, but I've been in their company.
You guys sound like you have been in a relationship with a white man. So
no, but I've been in their company.
It's okay. So it would have been okay, but I think what I'm hearing.
No, but hold on, Keith. I've been in the company of white men. Yeah. And generally speaking, they are usually the one that looks out for you. They will see detail into details and so on that black men don't.
I think you haven't been in the new version of black man today.
No.
I
think the Hennessy was just too strong, and the red wine wasn't working.
Because the truth is, based on what I heard about white men and what you guys are telling me now, it's totally different.
What are you saying, Raquel?
Let me say this.
You know, when men and men talk, you know, sometimes I even travel. So, you know, it is...
Don't get me started. Ahead, Raquel. Let me
be very clear.
Don't get me started.
There is no other man to me like the black man. Let's be clear. No matter
There is
something very uniquely special about a black man, flawed and all. He's imperfectly perfect. Let's be clear. However, I think our culture, our conditioning, the media, the all of that has really discredited the black man.
Black men.
Right? And I think that it's really, well, it's both ways, but it's really shaped, give us a very kind of a deformed way of seeing each other.
True.
Right? It's so conditioned. For a long time, I thought only a white man could truly love.
It wasn't just because a white man loved me.
Right? It's because of how I saw black men behave.
That's right.
Right? So when I talk about we attract, what kind of conditioning are black men having? Are they going to therapy? Are they learning who they are? Are they able to discover, okay, this is what's happening? I'm happy you're having the conversation today, and I think we're kind of having it because I was a part of contributing to the topic, and it's because of issues I'm having, right?
Yeah.
Working and being in relations with Black men scare me. And I love Black men. Let's get it very clear.
Yeah.
Okay? But they scare me. And I find myself just going silent and silent and silent. And when I'm going silent, it means I'm going through the door.
Yeah.
So I think from this conversation, and I'm hoping, and I feel like I'm always hijacking your thing, and I'm sorry, you know, but I am hoping.
Well, you know, it's quite okay.
Even it's as we right. listen and we talk and we feel good that we really listen, you know,
yes.
like we really process what's being yeah. said, because this is important, right? And we, in our community, we have a real challenge to listen. Mm-hmm. I had the best dad in the entire world, which is why I can love a Black man. He was so broken, so flawed, right? But yeah. he was the most loving, gentle human wow. in the entire world. That yeah. man loved me with every nerve in my body,
wow.
right? And I have had the experience of just being loved and cared for by some tremendous Black men, right? So I want that to be very clear, but I really do think the Black men need to come together. And because yeah. as I listen to you four men here, I think you guys need to mentor other Black men. Like, I hope what we're saying here is more than just words, because it's easy to say that. But when you're in the boardroom with a man who, and I've gone all the way up in the chain. So, and it wasn't easy, you know, because you're a woman. So you should be submissive I have to sit up in the chair. You know, I shouldn't have to. When my Black men are around, I shouldn't have to sit up in the chair because he's going to try to cower me, because I'm afraid right. he's going to try to silence me. I should feel good because he's in the room. I should
That's
feel
right.
special because he's in the room. I should be able to win because he's in the room. You know, so
That's
I think
true.
We really have to get to a place where we, more than words, truly let our Black women know. And I'm not just talking about the pretty ones. And I'm not just talking about the skinny ones or the fat ones. I'm talking about all Black women. Yes. Our Black men need to let Black women know, I've got you. Because
Absolutely.
Sadly, we failed to.
Absolutely.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well,
and
always,
I won't we're out of time. You know that?
Yeah, we're out
no,
of time.
And we are way out of time.
Wow. I think this was so good. It went by so fast. It's amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And just listening to all these men in here, I'm like, okay, we have some of the good ones in the room. Thank God. So we want to say thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming through tonight. It was a low dead night, but it was
yep.
a good night.
Big up to Barry Herbert and Christopher Sims and Shane Haslam.
Yes.
And Christina Plummer. Really great to have you guys, man. It was really, really good.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks to our producer and our assistants. Thank you for all the YouTube listeners and watchers. Thank you for all those who tuned in on Yumi Radio for keeping our company tonight. You know we can't do this without you.
Yes, guys. Remember, get the app. All right, get the app. Go to your store, your Play Store, your Google Store, and get the app. Yumi Radio. That's UMERADIO. One word, ladies and gentlemen.
One word.
Yes.
It seems that we're going to have to do a part two. This
yes.
has been so good.
I think we may have to do this again, part two, because these guys are powerful, man.
I know, right?
Yeah, I tell you,
I was looking at
Mr. Hibbert. He looked so relaxed that I started falling asleep.
Yeah,
but I tell you, that couch, man, that was getting me. I tell you, I need one of those couches, man.
Absolutely.
You look like you came back there, that couch.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man, it's a blessing.
You're
blessing.
Most welcome.
Dr. Sands, man.
So thank you all for listening tonight. Have a good night, guys. Remember, communication is key.
Yes, it is.
Our crew includes executive producer Keith Marrett, producers Marsha J, hosts DJ KTE and Lady Misty, associate producer Rochelle Smith-Haslam, and Delrose Delgado. Our sponsors are YouMe Digital Inc. We create and distribute content across our media portfolio, offering integrated marketing, media and business services to customers and advertisers, including digital solutions, performance and advertising opportunities. Our brands are committed to inspiring and empowering families. Go to YouMeDigitalInc.com for more information on products and services. MyCoachMinistry.com, transforming lives through mindfulness education, success coaching, and spiritual awareness conversations. Go to MyCoachMinistry.com for more information on Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass, success coaching, and more. AccessBusinessTree.com, an empowerment tool to help business pros build around their ministry. And Shop and Own. Shop and Travel Business is a one-stop shop for brand builders and influencers seeking to own the brand they're building while securing the right partnerships and collaborators to monetize their work. Sign up today and get exclusive deals, discounts, and offers from our partners. Sign up at YouMeRadio.com. Follow us at Let's Talk Relationships Show and via WhatsApp group LTR Exclusive Offers. Contact us at 201-503-6731. All the information we just shared, as well as contact details for our guests, can be found in the description bar. Don't forget to subscribe, click the notification bell for notifications, and comment. We want to hear from you. Tell us what topics you want us to talk about on our next episode.
Let's talk
relationships on YouMe Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on YouMe Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on YouMe Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the YouMe Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is YouMe Radio, one word.